They wrote me off. I ain't right back, though. That's the problem. I ain't right back. Let's go.
You watch him now on the screen, having the time of his life.
All I have to say is, let's ride.
Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
The Brian Suits Show.
Sony KTTH. I'm reminded of the heady days of the past when defense reigned at the Quest Field, now
Lumen
Field. But anyway, maybe we go back to those days. Many impassioned discussions were just had out in the newsroom. And I found out that when it comes to predicting a quarterback's future success or failure, I am not on Team Sullivan. He's all about the stats and stuff. And I said, look at the physicality of that kid. He is not going to survive his first NFL contact. And then I forgot that news writer's name. What's her name?
Kate.
She knows her poopy on this.
And I don't know if I would have phrased it that way, but I get what you mean.
She knows her crap, you know, so there's that. So anyway, I dipped in. I was really surprised. I got to say, spending money, this did not air on the broadcast, but Biden-Harris, when people say, well, this is just so innovative and reflexive. Well, okay, they put, guess what? They've been sitting on montages of Trump over the past, 18 years, bad-mouthing the evolution of the NFL into what some say practically two-hand touch, which it's not, but practically two-hand touch. And they put it together into and they used the Fox Sports music on that. You didn't see it on, you know, the whatchamacallit, the actual broadcast on Fox, and because they didn't broadcast it, for one thing. Good bad news for Michael Penix. I mean, great for him, you know, first rounder, lots of quarterbacks last night, but. Boy, I don't want to go into that situation. You got a guy who's a nutbag. You got Kirk Cousins, who's already crazy. And then he just signed a total value. The thing he just signed is like $300 million. If he runs it out and crawls across the finish line, it's like a $300 million contract. And they celebrate by drafting a quarterback in the first round.
Yeah, I don't know.
That doesn't say we have, the money says we have confidence in you, but the money also says this is if you're not injured, crazy, or we don't cut you or whatever, and he's all those things.
As a diehard dog fan, it was fun to see Penix go 8 and Romo Dunze go 9.
Yeah, Romo Dunze, that's the thing. That kid is the real deal. He's a future NFL Hall of Famer if he stays healthy.
Well, that's a bold prediction. My goodness.
Thank you. Here on the Ocho?
That draft is just a crapshoot. I mean, let's be honest.
It really honestly is, because then we got into, tell that to Ryan Leaf. And I went, okay, Ryan Leaf left a losing culture in Pullman where he was told his crap doesn't stink. Then he went into a winning culture called the NFL, and he was told, and at Pullman it was, hey, wouldn't it be fun to go to class? Wouldn't it be fun to hit the weight room and all that? And he admits this stuff himself. Then he gets to the Chargers, and you got Junior Seau in your face saying, how come I never see you in the weight room? How come I never see you in the video room and all that? And because I'm a lazy drug addict, because I was allowed that in Pullman because no one wanted me to transfer to UW. And that's the truth of it. You know, there you go.
He did get his ish together later in life.
Yeah, and admitted all this stuff.
Yeah, but a rough go of it in the NFL for sure.
So many, many, many secrets or other, but that's the thing. Maybe you had on whatever your team is, the UW, Texas, USC, or whatever, you had one stud on that team, and this one time he hit you in a full contact practice Friday, and he nailed you, and the coaching staff pulled him aside and said, never hit that guy like that again until you're in the NFL. And now that guy is every Sunday trying to knock your head off. And that's where, like, the Jadens and the skinny guys that can run were neat for college. But when they get to that level, it's a different kettle of fish. I got to say, I was about to edit the opening monologue of the movie Layer Cake, which you have not seen.
Is Is that the Daniel Craig movie that won him the role of Bond?
Yeah. And it's a great movie. And he's a drug dealer that's leaving the business. And he says this in the beginning in his open monologue. And he says, you know, whatever. But I was going to play it and edit it, but I don't have the time. But no, I realized I'm in a really weird situation in that I have such a good weekend ahead of me that I'd have to proactively screw it up. I'd have to steer into a bridge
abutment. Which you're fully capable of doing.
This morning, I know. My way home, the only way I can screw up this weekend is if, first of all, not weather dependent, but steering into a bridge abutment in Fife, where once again, for some reason, and heads up, folks, if you're any way going through such as the Burien or the SeaTac or the Tukwila, again, full of accidents yesterday, because who knew, when it doesn't rain for 60 days, on the first day it rains, all that hydraulic fluid and oil and all that makes the road slick. There were accidents all over the place.
I'm just glad the pollen in the air seems to be gone right now. I was getting tired of that.
And I'm not even allergic. And so... lane restrictions are, they're lifting them now. It's almost like a bigger production to pick up the barrels than it is to, but they had I-5 down to one lane.
Ow!
Just past the Duwamish swamp.
Ow!
Oh God, I hate that. And then, you know, up ahead, and that's what, like last weekend, I was stuck in that. But that's on me for Sunday morning saying, yes, we'll fulfill this appointment to see your grandma. And so that was a bad scene. It seems to go longer when your goal is a destination you don't want to be at. But so anyway, like I say, I have to actively screw up for this weekend not to work out. I've got some big events on my hitter circle. Speaking of that, finish off the wiffle ball diamond, possibly bring out the first non-league game, because I don't have a league yet. And we're coming up with different rules. Ever make a duct tape ball to hit with as a kid?
Not a duct tape ball,
make,
but
make
we
your
would,
own baseball?
We would duct tape the bat to give it a little extra power, for sure.
We might do, like, the second inning might be all homemade duct tape balls, but both sides get to hit it. So we're coming up with different rules like that. Because that's the thing about wiffle ball. You can make it up. You can literally make it up as you go along.
Creative juices flow.
It's a meta thing. And wait till you hear this commercial from a private school that I'd never heard of until they started advertising on Rush Limbaugh. And they see what's going on right now, and they are striking while the iron's hot. So we'll get to all that today. But, you know, it's been a long week. It's been a hard week. It's been a long week, but it's over now. And it gave me enough stuff for, I got to say, a pretty passable all week long morning montage.
But it's over now.
The drug use, you know, the needles, like how we see over in Seattle.
As good as David Pecker was, and he's not finished yet. They wanted to start out with a bang.
But that we didn't give Ho Chi Minh the Man of the Year award, and we weren't supporting the Viet Cong.
They don't want their parents' money to go in supporting a genocide that they oppose.
Speaker of the House, I am committing today that the Congress will not be silent as Jewish students are expected to run for their lives and stay.
Guess what? Played the wrong file.
Nicely done.
I know.
Off to a splendid start.
That was working for me at first. I'm like, well, this sounds awful familiar.
I was with you for the first few seconds.
Anyway, so here we go with a special visit from a certain USC alumni.
So what happens when you drop an iPhone 14 from 300 feet?
While there are more than 290,000 Chinese students in the United States, there are fewer than 900 Americans studying here in China.
This is like Columbia, Yale, Berkeley, and many others.
At the Columbia University. I went to school at the University of Southern California. If anybody had walked into his office and did excrement in his waste paper baskets.
For travelers flying in and out of Bellingham International Airport, Southwest Airlines will no longer be an option.
We just don't have enough officers to monitor and control what's happening up and down Aurora Avenue North.
Michael Penix Jr.
I got three words for you. You like that?
Yeah! Get down. Are you good?
Hey, multiple Marines we spoke to who were there said they felt they were under fire. But the Pentagon has insisted for 2 years no militant gunmen opened fire here.
Let's call that one overmodulated number three. There we go. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here, back on a Friday. Yeah, so, you know, that's the one thing. When you watch it on TV, I can't, the people that are there are a little crazy. Cause you're not seeing, it's just a crowd of people that are cheering other teams. You don't care about their draft picks and Roger Goodell reading them. So he gets booed every time he comes out, he gets booed. It is a pretty good TV event because you can have it on in the background. If I hear one more time about what a special pivotal day it is for, you know, Billy Joe MacArthur of Threadgill County, Alabama, I you know what? I get that. I understand that. You won the genetic lottery, and you won the high school lottery, and you went to college, and now you're going to make a lot of money. I get that. That would be life-changing. That's why so many young men buy a Lamborghini and die. Or screw up when your team moves to Vegas or whatever.
And who went number one last night? Was it Caleb Williams?
Caleb Williams, who, by the way, he's so over you. He won a Heisman. He lives in the Heisman house, which is a fictional thing. But he's making so much money in name, image, likeness. Will he even notice that he's in the NFL? I don't know.
And he went to
Southern California.
He did.
Is that John Wayne,
that
by the way?
That is drunk John Wayne.
The Southern California.
All this talk about Columbia University, I think we need to go back to 1971 when John Wayne, who went to the University of Southern California, was in his cups and was talking to a group of the last patriotic Americans in 1971 was some crew that invited him to speak. So he gets all liquored up and he speaks to them. And at the time, there was a student takeover of the administration building at Columbia University. And so the wisdom of the past has come back and bit us. And I got to say, if he's decrying the men of Columbia University for allowing people to go to the dean's office and do excrement in his waste paper basket, if only he knew what was going on at USC right now.
Diarrhea.
No, not him. So anyway, if people have never heard this before, this is legendary in radio. And you have heard this before, right, Producer Greg? Have I played it for you, or have you heard it, right?
Drunk John Wayne?
Yeah. And I listened back with my Greg ear. He says GD.
Did you take it out?
Yeah, I'll pot it down.
Let's hear from Marion.
Because he works it into the word ridiculous. He gets that is ridiculous. It's actually pretty funny. But anyway, from the past, here is a ghost of John Wayne looking at Columbia University.
The Duke.
And the disarray on college campus, which, by the way, doesn't matter a bit to anybody. They don't vote. We're not paying for it.
I don't know. This is so unimportant.
He's right.
I don't want to add anything that I can add to what he said about the fact that you guys are just on the American side. Jeez, I don't know how. You know, it's so terrible that you don't know how to. There is no way to be a leader
in Americana.
In Americana.
Whatever that is.
Except you guys. You got to control it. We haven't any chance. You, naturally, things happen like at the Columbia University.
And by the way, I was really generous with the edits that I gave him because he was so ripped, he couldn't think of the term chancellor or dean or whatever in telling the story, because this would be a powerful story about what would happen if somebody did excrement at the dean's office at USC.
Yeah, but drunk John Wayne is still more lucid than many college students.
Yeah, I bet he knows where the Jordan River is.
At the other mother colleges.
Chortles at a non-joke.
No, but really, it's when I went to school, I went to school at the University of Southern California.
So I'll pause there. Caleb Williams' first round that's his acceptance speech to the good people of the Washington Commanders and all that. But
I see your Marion Morrison, and I raise you one Ronald Reagan.
Negotiate? What is to negotiate? What is?
University is a public institution.
That's right.
An important institution,
but the university,
for all of its own community, and for the community of Berkeley that live around it.
All of it began the first time some of you who know better and are old enough to know better let young people think that they had the right to choose the laws they would obey as long as they were doing it in the name of social protest.
Right on, Governor.
Boom.
Can you imagine that guy being a governor in 2024? Or, my God, a governor of Washington State?
DeSantis is saying similar things, to be honest.
Yeah, he's saying if you're on a state university and you're being a knucklehead, you will be kicked out.
I was picked at a few days ago in California by some youngsters that had signs that said, make love, not war. Trouble is, they didn't look like they were capable of doing either.
OMG, I would be up there in Simi Valley having a G&T in the first row. My God, that's funny. But yeah, and that's the thing about John Wayne. Sure, he can get ripped, but he's not funny.
Let me explain something to you. When I went there, when there was a fella in control of the college. I mean,
the dean?
The boss man there.
Okay.
If anybody had walked into his office and torn down a picture and did excrement in his
waste paper basket. So anyway, we'll help him complete that thought when we get back. A rip-roaring, rousing round of checking if you're texting here. This is your last chance. It's Friday, 800-465-8770. I dare you, by the way, to try to make me have a bad weekend. Because, you know, because I've got a list of things to do.
You're tempting fate here, Brian.
I know. I win. I tempt the fate.
I don't want you to be prophetic.
And I'm perfecting my command center, all my monitors downstairs. Those are all going to be in an array around me. I've got books. I deconstructed last weekend. And I said, do I have all the elements that made last weekend so great until I got a text on Sunday night? And I do have all the elements. I have incomplete books. I have projects with an end state and what they should look like and the whole thing. And then I've got the other stuff, that one deal. And so it's all, I like I say, if Tiger chews my leg off before 9 a.m. today, I'm still going to have a good weekend. Yeah, and hockey will protect me on that one.
Here, two, before.
I saw a very healthy coyote this morning. I mean, it looked like a domesticated dog.
And believe it or not, coyotes.
And I mean, he was not patchy. When you're seeing here in Urbanus coyote territory, when you see a coyote with the fur falling out, it's not because it's getting ready for spring. It's because it's eating rats that have been killed by arsenic. So that's why it's because arsenic is one of those poisons that is a legacy. It carries on. If you eat the rat that ate the arsenic, you get the arsenic. Not all delicious rat. And that's why one of the most legendary mountain lions that used to come down into Hollywood was named P-22, and increasingly, because he was coming down there for the easy meal, that little black box outside your apartment that has arsenic in it, and he would come down and get that bento box of delicious rat.
Oh, what's in the box?
And arsenic and rat, and so he was losing his hair, And to the point where he probably had enough neurological damage that one day poor P-22 was hit by the iron, a coachless wagon, a horseless coach on 101, and he was
bye-bye.
No overpass for him. So anyway, when you see a healthy coyote, it means that there's no poisons out, and it means he's a lot of access to dumpsters, because this thing was walking off of Range 18 at Fort Lewis, where when you have a bunch of GIs there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they throw all their uneaten MREs in the dumpster after police call. And then it's raccoons. Raccoons eat the MREs. The coyotes can eat the raccoons, and they will eat the raccoons. And then, anyway. So my weekend started this morning when I saw healthy coyote. All right, so...
known as waste paper baskets.
Waste paper baskets, folks. So 800-465-8770. Don't do excrement in your waste paper basket. Text us and we'll get to it right after this. AM 770 KTTH.
Who am I? Why am I here?
AM, Sony, KTTH, Brian Suits here, and I gotta say, I've never had more parents of a certain age with kids of a certain age discuss where their kids are going to go to school. I mean, it's a topic of discussion, you know, not just the cost, but what do we get for that money? And you gotta think, a good friend of mine, old Ross Johnson, went to Northwestern. And at the time, it was Northwestern Bible College, right? And he loved it. Apparently, it's a really good school. And people are turning to that stuff right now, because this morning, Hillsdale College, which is in Michigan, I guess, I'd never heard of it till he began advertising on Rush Limbaugh. And they were talking about their traditional education, about actual history, and, you know, you name it. And now they do those free online courses. And so I've got a 15-year-old that's going to get college credit, you know, and you know, they have like American Exceptionalism 101, history courses like that. Like we used to, you know, that's where I understand John Wayne's anger in this, because this was at the point in the late 60s, early 70s, when the students started being in charge.
Where the inmates started running the asylum.
Yeah, and that's what you get. It's like having a democracy in kindergarten, you know? And what is it, Chocolate Chip Wednesday yet? No, it's Friday. Okay, well, you didn't learn that because you didn't pay attention. But, I mean, that is what it's like. And everywhere from, like, it's kind of rarefied air for USC, because the deal there is that place is already, there's a lot of cops on that campus because of where it's located, which is crap hole Los Angeles, and lots of on-campus crime. It's the leading campus crime college campus in America. The only number two is, a distant number two is University of Alabama, Birmingham. Go Blazers. And so people who are saying, well, a college campus should be a place of peace and contemplation. Well, you're right. You got to start with yourself. You got to police yourself. You got to behave. You got to learn your limits. And oftentimes, when you live in a town that really doesn't care whether you get educated or not, they just care that you pay your bills and not speed and all that, you're probably in Pullman. Because I don't know. You know, if you had a car in Pullman, you graduated with several speeding tickets. There was no exception or nothing like that. Same with Moscow. So I don't know what it's like, you know, somewhere else. But seeing this in Columbia, and I can't help but be struck by the overwhelming entitlement of these kids. And So Hillsdale College, and that's why I've got to think this is the time. Okay, not only is it April, but at this time in American history, this is the time to advertise to parents that, you know, that's not what you want for your kids. You don't want to, you do not want your kid coming home blaming America and saying the greatest war crime of all time was the atomic bomb in Hiroshima with no context. You don't want that. That's why I always use that example. When I always tag my little, like, folksy anecdotes with, so when your niece comes home from Evergreen, because that's literally a ludicrousy academy. So that's why I'm really, I'm glad that my niece and nephew, having come of age in South Africa, when they come to America, they want some Americanism. And so the ones at Gonzaga loves it. The other one is, and he loved A&M. The thing that he loved about A&M was the order of it. So he's off to A&M later this year. Because he just want to grow his hair and smoke weed and stuff. Because you know why? Because the high school they went to in Cape Town didn't tolerate that crap. And so I don't know if someday they're going to have the big rebellion, but it ain't going to be 2024. And some people, I guess, have tried to raise awareness or whatever about Gaza. And now, by the way, the American, U.S., the engineering branch, they're not the Corps of Engineers. They are active duty guys. The slow boat from the U.S. Army finally got to Gaza, and they're constructing the pier, and they're already catching mortar rounds. And they're saying, oh, don't worry. Don't worry. They're far away. They're no threat. That's why you shoot the initial mortar rounds, Colonel. I think if you pay attention next time you go to how to blow stuff up school in Lawton, you might pay attention to how these guys do it. When someone shoots mortar rounds and one is short and one is long, best find a bunker. You don't go, wow, they suck. You don't stand out in the open in your board shorts going, oh, they spew. Get back in the pool, boys. Where'd that primo go? You don't do that. They're adjusting fire. And you know what? You take the Hamas guys, you underestimate them at your own peril. I don't know how many of the Americans that are on the ground in Gaza have ever been in combat, but I really hope there's someone who can say, well, the first one was long, the second one was short. I'm pretty sure they can do math and cut the difference in half. So anyway, they really said that. That was a statement from the ARCOM, the Central Command commander yesterday was, oh, they're nowhere close. I forget if it was a Union general. There was a general in the Civil War shot off his horse right after he said those rebels couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. I mean, true story, fun fact. Well, so this is the commercial. And so, like I say, I put it to you, Greg, is this wasn't thrown together, but it sure looks like they have a pretty good multimedia department to advertise. This is on Fox this morning. This is an hour ago. This is high tide on the East Coast. When people are seeing disarray on MSNBC, CNN, and all that, they're not rioting. You know, America's entitled Ivy League students are spending the week in tents. I mean, okay.
Throughout its history, the mission of Hillsdale College has been to develop the minds and improve the hearts of its students.
Whatever, boomer.
As a commitment to this mission, every student signs an honor code. A Hillsdale College student is honorable in conduct, honest in word and deed, dutiful in study and service, and respectful of the rights of others. Through education, the student rises to self-government.
What? Well, so anyway, that propaganda was on MSNBC and Fox. And so the images are Hillsdale through time, and it was apparently like the first college that integrated and let those colored players play baseball in Michigan. And so there's a little vignette of that. And then the 50s and then modern day. And then you heard that it has to be self-government. You have to be a sentient being. And it looks like a really attractive college for someone that wants their money to go somewhere and then produce an educated kid. The other one is Grand Canyon University, which is not really a university on the present on the edge of the Grand Canyon.
They played in the NCAA men's basketball tournament this year.
And they pour money in that because that's free advertising, besides the Brian Suit Show on AM 770 KTTH.
These colleges are clearly making the most of the situation, making hay while the sun shines. I predict that...
That's a line from Layer Cake.
Is it?
Yep.
I predict that matriculation at a lot of these universities where are controlling the campuses, I think it's going to plummet.
My God, yeah.
And what parent wants to spend all that money to turn their kid into that?
And the other thing about this Hillsdale commercial and the Grand Canyon University commercials, no hippies. No. Every guy in the commercial, if your daughter brought him home, you'd get his chair.
He's hippie weirdos.
No hippie weirdos. That's the thing. Is there's none of that. You know, they're showing well-groomed people. And like in this Hillsdale commercial, there's like in their montage of their history, there's like in the 50s, everyone's like a poodle skirt and doing the hop or something, doing some 50s acceptable dance. But then they skip the 60s, which is so awesome. But no, I mean, you strike while the iron is hot. Or as Greg says, you what did you say? Make hay while the sun shines?
Yeah, there's a lot of synonyms.
Yeah. And so you light the fentanyl when the lighter works or whatever. But meanwhile, back in 1969, John Wayne is making a point.
Organization, I can't understand how it can happen in the United States of America that this can happen, and there aren't enough guys of your age to go up. I don't care if you go to the school or not. You can't stand to have this happen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Oh, Christ, I'm not trying to talk for clapping. I'm trying to talk for you guys. You better start thinking. It's getting to be ridiculous.
See, I edited it. By the way, my new motto is I'm not talking for clapping. I'm talking for clicks. But no, I mean I've never seen a commercial more aimed at me.
That's an applause line.
Than that Hillsdale commercial. I had not thought of a private school or anything like that. And in fact, you know, when a recent graduate of the Air Force Academy is saying, you don't want to go there, then there may be a problem. Yeah. So, and the thing is, I have a kid that can't wait to do nothing for a living but sit and absorb knowledge. And we she loves every college campus we've been on because they all look like that. People are hustling around with backpacks full of books and stuff like that. But that's not where the school is. The school is in the classroom. And it's I'm not talking for clapping. I think you all understand.
Oh Christ, I'm not trying to talk for clapping. I'm trying to talk for you guys.
So anyway, stuff is happening. Who knew Southwest flew out of Bellingham? Well, they haven't. They ain't got no planes because Boeing is not delivering the planes that they paid for. So they're making us pay. They're making Western Washington pay. So we should learn your lesson, Western Washington. Get to work, make a 737 MAX, and get it to Southwest Airlines because you won't be able to do that dream run, that Bellingham to Cozumel direct. Not anymore. Not today. Back in second AM 770 KTTH.
Please clap.
AM 770 KTTH. Can we get some Knights in White Satin in sometime today?
breathe deep.
I love that poetry part
at the end. Yeah, in rock radio, you're supposed to not play that.
Mix poetry and a flute. I think you got a hit single.
Mike Pinder, the keyboardist, one of nine keyboardists for the Moody Blues, dead at the age of 82.
Oh, so, no, that's a shame.
That's why Steve Slayton at KSW was so cool, because he would play the entire thing out. He would play that pretentious breathe deep.
Pretentious.
Watch light fade from
it's
every
like
room.
Edgar Allan Poe coming through my AM radio.
God. You're so the best. And there was a reason that all PDs were like, no, don't play like you get a hotline. Why are you playing this tribble?
love you.
Because it completes the song, man. Because I'm breathing deep, the gathering gloom. But I remember as a kid, listening to KSW, that was the first time I ever heard it. And then you thought, like, that's the first poem I've ever memorized,
yes,
bro.
I love you.
So anyway, they were the high tide of overproduced 70s crap.
Crap?
Yes.
So Moody Blues.
ELO.
Moody Blues is in my dad's top three bands growing up, so I knew all their records front to back, and I still have an affinity for the blues.
I think
Justin Hayward,
yes,
great songwriter.
Yes is at the throne of overproduced crap. Yes, all alone. And then way down there, the silver medal is Moody Blues. And that is how you get stripped down grunge rock, is when you force that crap down kids' throats in Grays Harbor, Hoquiam, or Port Angeles. That's how you get someone saying guitar, drum, plaid, drugs, you know, or whatever. But so anyway, someone pointing out Hillsdale College, I hadn't heard about this. I would have gone. Hillsdale College had a two-day event in Bellevue last week. You want to subscribe to the free monthly news? I've heard of that in Primus. Our daughter graduated from Hillsdale. Yeah, I've never heard a bad thing about it.
That's nice. My only response to that is this.
Breathe deep, the gathering gloom.
Watch light fade.
Watch lights fade from every wound.
Don't spoil it.
Sorry.
DJ. See, and I don't know which one of them, if that was an actor that we're supposed to know or what. Not sure. You have to find the Patrick Stewart spoken word poetry.
Right.
Who he is. So anyway, number one. Engage.
Number nine.
So anyway, we heard at Harvard and Camet yesterday morning, the sprinklers came on and it was 32. Yeah, there's a cold snap on the East Coast right now.
Smart.
How many of these hippies are that committed to Gaza? We'll say.
These hippie weirdos.
Yeah, take that, hippie weirdos. Should have brought polar fleece. You're welcome. They overdress in the summer and they don't think ahead in the winter. So there's that. That's your hippie right there. So I was yesterday days old. Southwest Air pulls out of four airports, including Hellingham. What? So who knew? George Bush International, I want to say, in Houston. They're gone. Somewhere in Florida. But the main thing is Bellingham. My golly, if you're north of Everett, if you don't have access. And who flies out of Payne? Horizon or something? Some puddle jumper flies out of Payne.
Sounds right.
I mean, I really don't know. When they're talking about something bigger than SeaTac in the South Sound, everyone's yard is festooned with at least one no airport sign. When you have that kind of pushback and you're not even surveying or even circling on the map where you think it might be, I would say if you're coming that far for a alternate SeaTac, just go to PDX. Really, honestly, where I am, if I lost a bet and I had to be in LA by 5 p.m., I would be flying out of PDX. I mean, it's a no brainer. It's a no hassle airport on that one. But never mind the news and the impact on people. Let's talk about their emotions.
Bedsitter people look back and lament. Another day's useless energy spent.
What? None of that means anything. But it was so pretentious when you're 16. Oh, I memorized the entire poem, man. Anyway.
Oakland, California, because for travelers flying in and out of Bellingham International Airport, Southwest Airlines will no longer be an option.
See, I'm sad because there aren't many like affordable flights to like Oakland or Vegas.
She like is sad. She has the sads. And that's not
with a Z on the end, a hard Z.
That's not your lead. Why? is your lead? Well, because they didn't receive the airplanes that Boeing promised, and because they lost money. But luckily, Boeing said in the contract, they'll make up your operating loss. So you didn't really lose money. So at the end of the day, if they were flying out of Bellingham Monday, they could fly out of Bellingham today.
From like the Vancouver area, which I'm from.
Natalia Capistrano says she used...
I want to go live there.
...the Southwest Airlines at least every 2 months to travel back home to Oakland, California, because she says flights are typically cheaper. Now that Southwest is pulling out of Bellingham, travelers say it's going to have major impacts.
Not a good thing for the economy with all the people that come here. You're like a little hub here. Like, we're down here for medical.
That's a word for Bellingham. Okay.
When it's very important that we get in.
Southwest says it's now set to get 20 Boeing 737 MAX 8 planes in 2024 compared to 46 last year.
So that'd be less, wouldn't it?
And with Boeing's manufacturing quality concerns of their 737 fleet, Southwest said it's not sure Boeing will meet the aircraft delivery schedule.
So anyway, that's the bottom line. They're not getting the airframes that they were promised, and there's several bummers that will affect you. Here's a big one. You can no longer go from Texas, wherever, in name destination, and on your flight back, you can no longer use skip lag. The great thing about Bellingham was you could be in the Bay Area or the crap area and flying out of Burbank or John Wayne, and you could say, I'm going to Burbank to Bellingham. And you would get a cheaper flight on Southwest because of the term is skip lagged. Airlines don't like you to know this, but you book past where you're getting off the plane. Okay. But an airline like Southwest, they don't fly over more than, you know, three streetlights without landing there. So you're going to Portland, book to Bellingham. Get on, the plane will land at Bellingham. They don't check your baggage on the way off. They will let you get off the plane in Portland. Kind of screws up their head count, but they can't stop you. You get off at Portland, you fly to Portland, book to Bellingham. It's literally a cheaper flight. Because who goes to Bellingham? People from Oakland who call it a hub and are from Vancouver.
See, I'm sad because there aren't many like affordable flights to like Oakland or Vegas.
So like the plane's going to be full of sad people anyway. They're all going to be crying as you lift out of Portland. They're all going to be bawling because it's sad. They have the sads.
That is not real.
And she's going to get off too, so you should follow her there in Portland. But anyway, download the app. It doesn't babysit your dog for you, but it does that one thing. It will save you money because you book one stop. You book to the destination, but you don't intend to get there. Only you know that. So you have the happies, not the sads. Speaking of iPhone out of an airplane at 8,500 feet, does it break or does it not break? Well, the Wall Street Journal, which is a Rupert Murdoch newspaper, apparently has money to burn. Because they answer that question, why can you drop an iPhone from your counter and it breaks, but when you drop it from 3,000 feet, it doesn't break? Hey world, what about that deal? All right, back in a second. You in the pants, back in a second. We will actually read some texts. There's some good ones just sitting there basting in the goodness. We'll get to it because it's a Friday. We have no plan. There's no plan. There's news. Chief Diaz spoke to angry people who think that Aurora should be a place where civil order and business can be done, besides prostitution. So he got near full of them, and he made that face he makes, which is not a face of disdain. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH.
Impassioned lovers wrestle as one. Lonely man cries for love and has none. New mother picks up and suckles her son. Senior citizens wish they were young.